just step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air performance number 724. I am your hostess with the mostest, Lisa Sheps, and I am joined finally once again by my wonderful, and I missed her, co-host, Nicole Shiro.
And she missed you, co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro. That's me.
You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live at KOOP.org. You better not touch that dial.
Step right up, the show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
My best friend, I'll be yours.
It is Wednesday, June 14th, 2023. On the show today, we have Austin Shakespeare's Young Shakespeare in the show Comedy of Errors by Bill. Later on, we'll be talking to Austin Playhouse in their show Big Fish. And of course, we're going to have a load of conversations about the world of theater and the Tonys in New York, and the Tonys in Chicago, and the Tonys in Wichita, and the Tonys in Austin. Don't go away.
Glad that I'm the one you've always told them to.
I'd give you my happy if it made
okay.
You happy.
Shocked. Shocked.
Shocked.
Nicole, you are back with us.
I am back. I am here.
Before I say hello to you,
I
just want to thank Kim Simpson for another wonderful international bazaar.
Kim always rocks it.
The internationalist and the folkiest.
Always.
Always. Just love it. And so that's it. We were speaking today, and I may have some more opportunities to substitute for him and
ooh,
find some more international show tunes to play.
That's fantastical.
Yeah. So you've been gone for like 3 weeks. Where were you?
I was in Portugal. I was in...
Did you get some port?
Morocco. I did get some port.
Did you get some Morocco?
I didn't get to Morocco.
Okay.
I was in Morocco. I got a lot of caftans, though. Like, a lot.
You're
I think
all around.
I went middle like crazy. And then all over Spain.
And I hear that you learned, I read this in The Statesman this morning, that you took a cooking class on paella.
I did. Paella is created in from Valencia, Spain. And I went to a cooking school and learned how to make traditional Valencian paella, which, fun fact, does not have seafood.
Then I will
it's
not
chicken
be eating it.
With rabbit and sometimes lamb.
Then I will not be eating it. Speaking
but
of rabbit,
I also learned Spanish omelets and a sponge cake and a sangria, and I ate way too much that day.
Well, we'll come over to your house for paella and sangria, but I would like you to put some seafood in mine.
Oh, yes. I learned that when we learned. We got all that, too. But okay. I saw performances all throughout the lands I was in. And
lovely. You went to, you saw Antonio Banderas' theater. Did you go inside?
I did not get to go inside. It is in Malaga, which is on my bucket list to go back to. It's home of Picasso and Antonio Banderas. And it is absolutely one of the most beautiful places. I did find the theater. Barcelona, my brother was trying to get us to
it's
go see
Barcelona,
Wagner.
It's not Barcelona, by the
Barcelona.
Way. Barcelona? No, it's Barcelona.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. It was a great place.
If Castilian.
There is, that was the one I couldn't really speak to people in that city. Everywhere else I had no problem, although they speak French everywhere.
Oui.
Because of north of Africa and being so close to everything in the southern region of Spain and Portugal that everyone speaks French.
Mais oui. All right. Well, we've got to introduce the folks that are here. Otherwise, we're just going to talk about Spain all the time.
Well, we can talk about Antonio Banderas.
We can
all
talk
day
about
long.
Yeah, absolutely. We have talked about him on this show a lot, and we love what he's doing with Spanish theater.
That's why I was went right away, and I think I was texting you, Lisa. I found Antonio's theater.
I think you did. I think I have a picture. So here in the studio with us is Meredith O'Brien. Welcome back, Meredith. Well, you know what I'm going to do just for the heck of it? I'm going to turn your microphone on.
It's magic here.
So say that again.
Magic.
Thank you, Lisa. It's great to be here.
I warned our guests that since I engineer my show, I castigate people over the air. So I just castigated myself for doing something wrong. We also have Rachel Zook. Hi, Rachel. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks. It's great to be here.
And Finn Fulmer.
Hi.
Did I pronounce that last name right?
Yes.
Excellent.
You are in a roll today.
So, you know, the biggest thing, you know, the probably only thing we're going to have time to really talk about, there's just so much about the Tonys that I want to talk about. Did you get to see them?
No.
No. Okay.
I saw like bits and pieces, and I got an hour and a half recap from my mother.
Oh, good. Well,
mm-hmm. Liz had a lot to say.
So there were a couple of things about this Tonys that made it special. I think number one, it was uptown at the United Palace Theater.
Yes, which apparently didn't have the air condition really working.
Oh, I did not hear that.
Oh, everybody was sweating. They were talking about it. It looked very hot and uncomfortable.
I clearly don't read the right things because I did not hear that. But
you could see it during the
clips.
It
is an amazing theater. So it's funny. I lived up in Washington Heights for 11 years. I lived 10 blocks from that theater and did not know of its existence. And I felt bad about it for a long time. I don't anymore because I have some reasons. But also, Lin-Manuel Miranda did not know of its existence.
I was about to say, you weren't the only
until
person.
Until not all that long ago.
Yes.
So, but it turns out, so it was, and there is an article that you can get to at Offstage on the Air about this theater that talks about its history. First of all, it is, it's an ornate theater. It was built as a movie house.
Yes.
As one of those, hold on, I gotta get
silent
the right
picture now. Shows.
It's a Lowe's Wonder Theater. Mm-hmm. So I do remember, and actually we were talking about this before we went on the air, downtown and Times Square, the movie theaters used to be single screen movie theaters.
Right.
Huge, thousands of seats. And I went to see Kramer versus Kramer.
That's where you saw it.
In one of these 3,000 seat movie theaters, and I was one of about three people in there. It was so creepy. And I saw it's The World According to Garp, which is another one
to put on this. It's crazy when you see these films in giant theaters and houses like that, and the details
and
that you
the way
see
it was.
On this. When you see The Wizard of Oz on a giant screen, you realize. Yep. Dorothy really has red hair, and you can see the teardrops on her gingham dress. Like, there's just things you don't see in a little
so anyway,
boob
this
tube
United
at home.
Theater, which is huge. Oh, and the reason why neither Lin-Manuel Miranda or myself did know it is because
it had a different name, right?
Well, it was a church. Reverend Ike. Remember Reverend Ike?
Yes.
So
yes,
I do
yes,
remember
yes.
Reverend Ike had a church up there, but I never went in
Put
there.
Put two and two.
You wouldn't go in there. And evidently, so the neighborhood is a Dominican neighborhood, and evidently the Dominicans didn't go there. So I don't know who was going to Reverend Ike's church.
People
but
were.
Here's, there's this pictorial
It's spectacular.
Thing. It's really beautiful. It's gaudy. It's actually over. Mm. A lot of people... as a matter of fact, I want to read this thing from one of the reviewers of the building itself. Because it's kind of funny if I can find it. Anyway, 3,400 seats. So let me just read this. In the 3,400 seat auditorium designed by the renowned theater architect Thomas W. Lann, Bata Vistas smile serenely in their niches while griffins, centaurs, barakes, which everybody knows is a human-headed equine from the Islamic mythology, forbidding lions, long-necked birds, and weirdly muscular cherubs can be spotted among the swirling tendrils and cathias leaves and rosettes. And one person described it as a Byzantine, Romanesque, Indo-Hindu, Sino-Moorish, Parisian, eclectic Rococo deco.
Yeah, it had all that.
Yeah. So I just think it's amazing. But I am very, very thrilled that they did this uptown in this theater. It was actually quite beautiful. So that was one of the things that was new about this. And I would encourage folks to go to Offstage and on the offstageonair.com and click the link. This is in the New York Times. You can also search for it in the New York Times. I don't care if you go through our website, but our website makes it a little easier.
Plus, there's other cool stuff there, and you can enter your email in the box and just hit enter, and then we arrive the show each week in your mailbox.
Yep.
Don't have to go looking.
So we all know, we've talked about it on the show, that this year's Tonys is in the midst of the WGA strike, the Writers Guild of America strike. There was all sorts of stuff. We don't need to get into it because we talked about it on the show where they were not going to let it happen, and basically they let it happen by agreeing not to picket. And that was at the insistence of writers like Martina Mayoc and others who are WGA members that really wanted to impress upon how important the Tonys are for the very existence
for the existence of theater
of
and yeah
Broadway.
Yep.
So they made it happen. But one of the things that couldn't happen is there was no writers. This was completely unscripted. Also, I didn't realize that this would be a thing, and I guess it's just a safety valve. There was no teleprompter.
No.
So they couldn't even write anything themselves and put it in a teleprompter.
So no one went rogue.
Right. I think you're right. And so also you couldn't have an opening number per se or a closing number, but they had this amazing.
I was like, but there was a number.
An amazing opening number.
Yes.
And this was the brainchild of Ariana DeBose, who went to, hold on, I've got to get the... I got to get the person's name.
I
went to the orchestrator Macy Schmidt to create a opening number featuring. So Macy Schmidt has a organization called. Let me see if I can get the name of it. But it's basically for women of color orchestras. And she wrote it in 3 days.
It was fantastic.
Did you see it?
Yes, I did. Because my mom went on and on and on and on and on. And then also said every award show should be unscripted. It was so real.
Agreed.
And so refreshing.
Totally agreed.
She watched it from front to end.
Yeah. But this opening had no singing. It was just dance. It was fully orchestrated from musical theater history.
Mm-hmm.
And it started up in a up in the upper areas of the United Theater.
It was everywhere. It was like Spider-Man without the incident or flying gear.
And Ariana DeBose was the lead in this dance number. And she's just amazing. At one point, so she starts up at the top and she dances her way down to the orchestra level. And finally opens the doors and we see the audience there. And I'm not sure if they pre-taped up to that point or not, but it seemed like they did. But it looked real enough that I thought they did not pre-tape this, that it was done live. But at one point, she gets to the stairs and she leaps off the stairs into the arms of a dancer that was down at the bottom of the landing.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It was fantastic.
It was thrilling.
It was fantastic.
And she does all these acrobatics, lots of flips and things like that.
Well, you know, Lisa, she might go somewhere.
She might. And she ends up on stage. She exits for less than 10 seconds, comes back to with a minor costume change, and starts talking.
And is like, and without like completely.
Well, you could hear her breathe, but she was.
But not like sometimes. I don't know. It was also nice because of all the cutting down of orchestras using click track. It was it was a really great moment to see all these live musicians.
Yep.
And
they had them all over the lobby area. It was
it was really cool.
So I would encourage you, while they are available, because they are not available on YouTube for long, for maybe, you know, a few weeks,
like,
and then it'll disappear. I would encourage folks to watch that. It's like a 5-minute piece.
And I believe the Tonys themselves posted little snippets on the socials.
Yep. And this was choreographed by Carlo Puna Garcia, who's got a great story herself. She's an associate choreographer for Sergio Trujillo in the 2021 what's it called? Tony Awards.
Mm.
I love her look. I'm showing the people in the audience a picture of her. You can see it by going to Offstage and On the Air and clicking on the link. She was also in Hamilton, and she and Ariana DeBose overlapped just slightly.
It was kind of awesome sauce.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, awesome sauce. So I did love that opening number. I'm checking the time to see. See what else we want to do here. Oh, and then I just need to say that it seemed to me, and I'm not sure that this is true, that there were more performances than typical.
There were. That was a whole other conversation with mom. That was another reason why my mom is like, don't go back to scripts. We got more performances. We got more inside looks at each show. We got more from each performers and creatives that you don't normally just get the big names and you don't get all this other stuff. And it was everywhere.
Yeah.
And I did see a few clips, and yes, it seemed like that. Not a lot of the Grobes, though. Grobes was short.
Grubs are short.
Grubs was a short moment.
But that's okay.
That's totally okay.
So one of the snubs of the night was your friend John Kander. Angel Gray received special awards.
What was that all about? Like, keep going.
Well, but they were not on the main telecast. They received their awards.
It's the same thing they did to Terrence McNally.
On the pre-show.
Shameful and Broadway League. Shameful.
Shame on them. I mean, that's I totally agree. Do y'all know who John Kander is?
I do not.
So no. John Kander.
Have you ever heard of Kander and Ebb?
No.
Have you ever heard of the show Chicago?
Well, they're the longest American composing duo in Broadway history. So there's a great book called Colored Lights. I highly suggest you to read that. Cabaret,
and listen
Chicago.
To the song Colored Lights, because it's a lovely song.
It is. That's from The Rink. An untouched, wonderful musical that people don't do.
So these are things we should know.
Fantastic.
Yes. You should
Liza
know.
Minnelli and Cheetah Rivera. The album is spectacular. Jason Alexander. Do you know Seinfeld? George Costanza's in it. Before the George Costanza.
Lots of stuff. So, yeah.
But,
So, I was reading some of the stuff about some of the, and I'm using air quotes, snubs. I don't think there were that many snubs, quite frankly. I didn't agree with a lot of ones, but that one I totally agreed
that
with.
That one really then, bothered me.
And then John Kander and Joel Grey showed up to do a presentation, and it was a very...
Awkward?
Awkward.
Shuffling out? Awkward?
Yeah,
like, yes,
it was weird.
Again, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I have it in years, like the In Memoriam. Memoriam.
I'll
oh my gosh, why am I missing? I was missing.
Speaking of that, that was...
That was really well.
It was done really well, and they sung...
Phantom.
From Phantom, only... I keep forgetting the name of the song.
I can't think of the name of the song, but it was the last Christine to play it, right?
Yeah, and she sang beautifully.
I
forgot her name,
funeral.
And she's normally known as a very belty singer, and this is very operatic. She sang really good. I thought that was good, and it's apropos. No matter what you think of Phantom of the Opera, I mean, after 35 years, it closed this year. I think it was a fitting.
It was fitting.
I think it was totally fitting and
Liz
wonderful.
Said that we could sing that at her funeral.
No,
I was like, okay.
She's never gonna die. She can't die.
No, I was like, what? Her mom just turned 99 2 days ago.
So mazel tov. So one of the shows that I did not think was going to do very well and is going to do very well is New York, New York. Speaking of
Kander and Ebb.
Well, Kander. Oh, Kander
no,
and Ebb.
No, Kander and Ebb.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. They sang the New York, New York song on the Tonys, and I did not know this woman, Anna Uzzelli. I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that.
She's pretty hot stuff there.
Oh, my Lord.
I
it's
mean,
amazing.
You have to be hot stuff. When everyone knows that song from Liza Minnelli, you have to be hot stuff to, like, get in there. I saw a clip and went, whoa.
So I had to look her up. She was also in Six. She played Catherine Parr. She was in Once on This Island. Directed by Michael Arden. Michael Arden's speech.
I went to the home of Catherine of Aragon over
amazing.
In Spain. Isn't that cool?
Michael Arden's speech was pretty incredible. And there is a bleeped out section that I know
there
what he
is,
said.
Yes.
But anyway, so she was also, if anybody watches the series Dear Edward, which I just love, it's a very sweet.
What's it on?
It's on
is
Apple
it streaming?
TV.
Okay.
She was on that. But really, she's a local gal. She graduated from Texas State.
I love it. Well, they are one of the top 10 theater programs, so I'm not surprised by that.
So I just really imagine, I think she's someone to look out for, Anna Uzzale. You can get a link to her website at offstageonair.com. And we have just a couple more minutes. Let's see what else. So there is an article that you can see from the New York Times called The Best and Worst of This Year's Tonys. I would like to rewrite that and call it The Best and the Best.
Yeah, I don't think there really was any worse, except for the shuffling out of Joel and
that was
Kander,
the one thing
and then
the
honoring of
that
them.
Was the one thing that I agreed with.
I have to watch the whole thing more.
So
but,
that is all the New York Times writers, Jesse Green, Vincent Telly, what's his name? Anyway, they all, you know, have their best and worst moments. But it's worth looking. You can get a link at offstageonair.com.
And London has to be excited. They're getting the Shucked.
They are getting the Shucked.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Shucked, the song we heard at the opening was Friends from Shucked. Alex Newell. Who won Best Actor in a Musical. And I need to stress that this year's Tonys were gendered. So there is a Best Actor and a Best Actress. Alex Newell won Best Actor. Alex Newell is a non-binary person and the very first in history to win a major Tony Award. Not only that, Jay Harrison G., former guest of Offstage and On the Air.
Let me wear her kinky boots, that Lola.
They also won Best Featured Actor, in a performance for Some Like It Hot. And mm-hmm. we talked about this on the show. There was, they had to, both Alex Newell and Jay Harrison G had to be okay with being in the actor category. And they took that step to do it. There was the one person from Six who is a non-binary.
No.
From Anne Juliet, sorry.
I was like, it was Anne Juliet.
It's Anne Juliet.
Right?
I get Six and Anne Juliet mixed up. No reason for that. Who opted not to be in contention for Tony because they did not want to choose a gender. So I think that we talked about that on the show last week. A lot of bravery. We've got to go, but I just want to just say on offstageonair.com, you can click the link. There's the Theatrical Index did 2024 Tony nominations.
I saw that, and I was like, funny. Oh my gosh, already?
So they've got the shows that we know are coming, shows that we wish are going to come, and they just made some nominations.
Like Back
viewership
to the
Future. Was up.
Up.
So, was it up so with that's people? Real good. I also have to really say this real quickly. Like, there's so much stuff we want to talk about. But rest in peace, Treat Williams.
Thank you. I was like, please tell me you're going to. I read that and I was like, what? He was a sick motorcycle accident.
It turns out he turned into a parking lot as a SUV was coming out.
Oh.
And he could not have avoided it.
No. And love me some Treat Williams.
And he was wearing a helmet. I love Treat Williams. When the movie of Hair came out, I was not looking forward to it because I wasn't a big fan of
Twilight Sharp.
Oh my God. He was so good in it. And the movie is so wonderful. I'm going to have to rewatch it. Let's take a. You guys.
Treat.
Y'all talked way too much during this section.
I know.
All That's right. So I will also say they're making a film, or they have made a film of Waitress.
Yes. And they filmed a performance watched by Sarah Bareilles went back in it.
Yeah, there's a trailer for it, and you can click a link to see that as well. It looks really great. I can't wait to see it. We're going to take a little break. We heard Alex Newell singing from Shucked at the beginning. We're now going to hear Jay Harrison G singing You Could Have Knocked Me Over With a Feather.
Oh!
From Some Like It Hot. We'll be right back.
And you could have knocked me over.
Okay, we are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps. And who else?
Nicole Shiro.
Yay. And I just want to reach out and thank Rachel Zook. What a great job you did reading that announcement.
Yes, I was very fantastic.
Take yourself a little bow.
I am giving you,
thank you.
Virtual jazz hands.
Awesome. Rachel Zook, who we just met and heard, is part of Austin Shakespeare's Young Shakespeare production of The Comedy of Errors. And we have her along with another actor, Finn Fulmer. Hello, Finn.
Hi.
Can I just tell you, I think Finn is a great name.
Finn is a fantastic
name. I'm actually going to steal it. I'm going to be Finn Sheps. And we have co-director.
Yes, ma'am.
Meredith O'Brien.
Thank you very much.
How are you?
I'm well. It's an honor to be co-directing with Andrew Lello.
Well, that's so. There you go. That was the question. So tell us about the show. If the people have never heard of the Comedy of Errors, what is it?
The Comedy of Errors is a very funny comedy by William Shakespeare. It's about two sets of twins who are separated and come back together in the same spot. There's a lot of mistaken identity, but to me there's also kind of the essence of it is this search for home, search for connection. So it's a very touching play as well as being really funny. And we've set it in a circus.
Okay.
So
in a present day circus? They're
all
like shaking their head like they haven't talked about it before.
mixed opinions on that, I suppose. But it's
a circus fun. For everyone, Lisa. It's a circus for
fun
everyone.
Fun music, beautiful costumes by Kristen Knipp, and it's gonna be a blast. Opens on Friday.
Opens on Friday out at the Curtin Theater.
Yes.
Which we love. We're going to talk about it in a second.
Magical little gem we have.
Rachel Zook, who do you play? Tell us about your character.
Well, I play Audriana, and she is the wife of Antiphilus of Ephesus, who is one of the twins. She's a very strong woman. She has a lot of opinions, and she isn't afraid to voice them. And I really love that about her, which, especially in, you know, Shakespearean time, that's not a very common thing, or it's not considered a virtue in women. But I really loved kind of exploring that aspect of her character and working with that.
And Finn, who are you?
I play Antiphilus of Ephesus. He's one of the twins, I guess, of like nobility or higher status.
Uh-huh.
He's like a prominent merchant in the town. He's besties with the Duke. And he's also not the greatest husband.
A lot of people don't know this, but Shakespeare used the term bestie an awful lot.
I was just about to say, that was the description in there, besties with the Duke.
Straight from the language, honestly.
Well, that's amazing. So we were talking before the show that I was going to share with you my only connection to Comedy of Errors, because I don't read a lot of Shakespeare. People that listen to this show know that I talk about this ad nauseum. The show I did on Broadway was called Oh Brother. And it was a comedy of errors set in modern day Iran. And our Adriana was that character name was Saroyana. And
it's a pretty name.
Yeah. And we had
Papa Pope
Musada was your character, because it was all set in
Iran.
So it's amazing. So there's a whole song called "Tell Sweet Saroyana."
I love it.
In a drawer in the cabana. Anyway, so this is it's a rip roaring fun comedy. How have you how's the experience been for the two of you?
It's been really fun to just kind of do this over the top silly play. I mean, some of the mistaken identity stuff leads to some really funny comedy in the show. That's just really fun to play with the other actors. Just kind of the absurdity of some of the situations.
You get to do a lot of physical comedy with this piece, which is. Always adds an extra layer. Have you learned anything new doing that?
Oh, I've learned some stage combat.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sure. Always
cool.
Excellent.
It's been fun to hit some people. Not really.
Always fun. That's what I like to do. Well, as we were talking before, you know, Nicole used to run Young Shakespeare, and Young Shakespeare started with this show, did it not?
It did. It was its very first show back in the day, 15 years ago when Young Shakespeare started. What a great program. I'm just going to go on for a minute and say this is one of the best programs I've seen for young adults, where they're able to be in a show, get all this training and have different people come in and learning stage combat and learning comedy and learning voice and learning movement. And then to get to perform in that space that Richard Garriott has, that Curtin Theater out on the lake, it's quite special. It's really hard to put into words how to describe it to people. But and I've just seen some talented, fantastic young adults come out of there.
Yeah,
You guys are part of that little crew now.
Finn, tell people about the theater.
It's this outside replica of like an Elizabethan theater. It's on the lake. It's really beautiful. It's a three-quarters thrust stage. Mm-hmm. And you have two tiers of audience. And it really just adds to like the ambiance of being at a Shakespeare show.
Yeah, so
helps
folks
envelop
can,
you in the world.
Yeah, so folks can come out early and picnic by the lake and come and see the show, right?
And then in the second half, really it gets dark and the torches come on.
That's right. Yeah.
And it's nice and cool out, so
yeah,
it's beautiful. There's not hot at all.
No.
Actually, there has been breezes, though. I will give that. We don't always have the breeze going. I've spent a lot of... You just get a washcloth and you... get a cold and you stick it on your neck and you hang outside.
So Meredith, you and Aunt Chiclella directed this piece and decided to set it in a circus. What does that mean? Are there circus acts within it, or are we just dressed as clowns?
Nope. Well, no one is actually typically dressed as a clown, but I think it's more an energy to the production that a circus. I mean, anything is possible. People get shot out of cannons in a circus. So, you know, it sort of just opened the walls wide open to what we could do physically.
So somebody is
color.
Shot out of a cannon?
No.
So, oh,
well, I should have said yes. But, that would really bring them in, right?
I was on my way.
Over the lake, onto a boat.
That's how every entrance happens.
Yeah. Fireworks!
That's been... But no, that it just opened it up to a lot of color and a lot of energy, and there is a lot of physicality to the show, and yeah, it's
wonderful. So how many youth are in this piece?
13 actors.
That's a nice little group of folks there.
Which is a lot. I want to give people a little flavor of the show itself. And so y'all are prepared to do a little piece, right?
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to start with you, Rachel. Is there a, do you need to set up what you're going to do? What, you know, what leads into this or anything?
No, I'm all good. I'll just,
you're just gonna go
right to it.
All right, let's do it.
His company must do his minion's grace while I at home starve for a merry look. Has homely age the alluring beauty took from my poor cheek? Then he has wasted it. Are my discourses dull, barren my wit? If voluble and sharp discourse be marred, unkindness blunts it more than marble hard. That's not my fault.
Well, it's not mine. Okay, awesome. Finn, what are you going to do?
Okay, well, I guess I'll give me away too much after... Okay. Well, I don't know if I can... I'll just do it. I'll just do it.
Just do it.
You have prevailed. I will depart in quiet. And in despite of mirth, mean to be merry. I know a wench of excellent discourse. Pretty and witty, wild and yet too gentle. There will we dine, this woman that I mean. My wife, but I protest, without desert, hath oftentimes upbraided me withal. To her will we to dinner.
That is amazing. I wish we had the video on, because Rachel was looking at Finn like a wife looks at her idiot husband. So that's great. So when does the show open?
Friday.
Yes,
Friday. That's this Friday, the 16th of June, and you play weekends through when?
This Friday through Sunday, and then next week it's Thursday through Sunday.
Okay, and that's the 25th. Meredith, where can folks go to get more information about the show?
www.austinshakespeare.org.
Awesome. Well, thank y'all for
thank
coming.
Thank you for all having us.
Really appreciate
thank you for having
it. And just really quickly, I warned you that I was going to do this, and I didn't because we're running out of time. But Rachel, you are in college.
Yes.
Where?
I go to Southern Methodist University. I'm a theater major there. Yes.
Okay. Is there any decent fried chicken places there?
Bubba's
across
the street.
So good. I go
and
there
Jack's
all the time.
Burger Shack with the seasoning
really
salt.
I just had to let her say that.
It's the best fried chicken anywhere.
So what are you studying?
I'm a theater major.
You're a theater major.
Yes.
And what do you want to do after graduation?
Honestly, I know it's in this industry, it's kind of just you get what you take what you can get. I really just want to act. I'm getting a little more into film acting as I'm progressing in my training, so I'm excited about that. I really love stage acting, though, so honestly, I'm just really excited to all these possibilities that are opening for me.
Wonderful.
Oh,
my
exciting.
Little advice to you, not advice, my request of you is, as you learn film acting, don't forget you need to project when you're on a stage.
Right. Sure.
Correct. That's a good tip, Lisa.
Finn Fulmer, you are a rising senior in high school.
Dun, dun, dun,
yes.
dun, dun.
Which high school are you going to?
I go to Anderson High
School. Anderson, were you part of the musical last year?
I was an assistant stage manager this
year.
Oh,
fantastic.
And what did y'all do?
Pajama game.
The pajama game. Did you win anything at the Heller Awards?
At the what?
The Heller, the High School Musical Theater Awards?
No.
No, okay. Well, maybe Anderson wasn't in it this year. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. And what do you want to do after graduation high school? Do you know?
Probably something in science, like environmental science.
Okay,
fantastic.
Good. We love that. As we talk about on this show all the time, we think that theater and arts education is really good for anything that you plan to do.
Mm-hmm. It helps you with life in general.
Wonderful. Yeah. So again, thanks for being on the show, best of luck
with
your
run. Thank
you
all. Thanks. Tell that Chickalella we said hello.
Will do.
She's our Coco host.
Mm-hmm.
That was Meredith O'Brien, Rachel Zook, and Finn Fulmer of Austin Shakespeare's Young Shakespeare's The Comedy of Errors, June 16th through the 25th at Richard Garriott's Curtin Theater. For more information, austinshakespeare.org. And I had to play a song from... Oh, brother. And I just need to say who's in the show, in the song. This is... your character, but in ours it was Sariana and your sister, who in our, I forgot what the character's name, and then the harlot,
who was played by... I wish I had a video camera for that.
Who was played by Allison Reed, Judy Kay, and Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio.
What a great little cast you have.
This is called A Loud and Funny Song. We'll be back.
Oh! What do you sing when you're feeling
bad? We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air on Co-op and KOOP.org. We had a lovely time with the folks from Austin Shakespeare.
We did indeed.
And now we're just going to talk a little bit about what's going on locally very quickly. Sorry, I have to get my cheat sheet. My cheat computer.
I was like, you have a cheat sheet there. You're doubling cheating
today.
Yeah.
I just wanted to, I totally forgot to even have a link to it, but there'll be a link on our website. TexArts announced their season not all that long ago, and you can get information about that. They have a relatively new artistic director over there, and I forgot his name, but I did meet him.
He came on, didn't he?
No, he hasn't come on, but I met him at the... the Unified Auditions.
Ooh.
That was I. Did you, Laura Tona Haddock is here with us. You were there.
I was not there.
I thought you. Well, hold on. You were there in spirit. I thought you were there.
I'm everywhere.
You didn't
Lisa.
Know you were there?
No, I was not there, but Sarah Chong Dickey was there from Austin.
Oh, okay. I knew somebody was there. Anyway, that's where I met him, and I forgot his name. Let's just introduce the other folks that are here with us before we get into their things. Sarah Zarang, hi.
Hi.
And Amy Miner.
Hi.
Welcome. All right, we're just talking about local stuff, and then we're going to talk about everything Austin Playhouse. The other thing is that I wanted folks to know is that there is a fundraiser for Trouble Puppet Theater
yes.
Company. At the Vortex that's happening on the 17th of this month.
That's this weekend.
That's this weekend. Everything's happening this weekend.
It's Father's Day this weekend, too.
It is.
It's a lot of stuff.
Yeah. There you go. Playing right now at ACC, the Mad Ones is playing through the 25th. At Ground Floor Theater, Julieta Tiene la Culpa is a central drama production. And y'all should... definitely check it out. You can get information at groundfloortheater.org/shows. It is done in Spanish with English subtitles.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And it's got a great cast. It's three women. Thank you and have a nice day. We had them on the show last week, Summer Break Theater. Hairspray is happening right now. I was supposed to go last night, but I couldn't. At Bass Concert Hall. The Importance of Being Earnest at City Theater. We're going to talk to them in just a second. Big Fish over at Austin Playhouse. We just spoke to them, the Comedy of Errors of Austin Shakespeare's Young Shakespeare through the 25th. We spoke to them a few weeks ago. Bottle Alley Theater's Wraith Radio, which looks like a lot of fun, is playing on the 16th through July 2nd. At Ground Floor Theater, opening on June 23rd through July 8th, is Box with Penfold Theater. And, of course, just opening, I think, tonight. They had
last night was Final Dress.
Last night was Final Dress.
Tonight's first preview.
Off at a little theater some of you may have heard of called Zach Scott Theater.
Just Zach Theater.
It's just the Zach Theater, but it's named after Zach Scott. So let's just go right into today in theater history, shall we?
Dun, 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 stuff happened.
Dun, 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 dun.
Tell me, Lisa, what happened.
It is DeAndre Aziza's birthday. I don't know who that is.
Did you look it up?
No, I didn't.
Oh, I thought you were going to give us a whole, and you would know Andre
no,
from.
As I was putting this together, I didn't pay a whole bunch of attention to birthdays, but I did some. Harold Wheeler's birthday.
Oh, that's a good one.
Cy Coleman.
Oh, that's a
born in 1929. We're going to hear a little bit of his music as we go out. Normally, I pull these off of Playbill, and normally I only get like two little sections, and it had three sections.
There's a lot
time.
Of June birthdays, like here through birthdays. The beginning, first week in July.
Anthony Scheer, and I wonder if that's any relation to Bartlett. Derek McLean, I wonder if that's any relation to Shirley. I don't know any of these people. Jerry Shea, I wonder if it's any relation to Stadium.
No, there you go. Oh, could be the Shea family, right?
Janine LaManna, Burl Ives, I know who that is.
Burl Ives, that's another yep. good one.
And it's the birthday of Boy George. I just have to show you the picture they chose for Boy George. It's really kind of frightening. Mm-hmm. Shows that opened, An Evening with Diana Ross in 1976.
She was pulling that Bruce stuff before Bruce was doing Bruce.
Yes. And then The New Faces of 1956. Can anybody guess what year that opened?
1956.
Al Pacino's Richard III, 1979, which I saw.
Wasn't that a painful?
It says, now is the winter of our discontent.
Yes, that's what I thought. I was like, I don't remember hearing any good things. I think I got it.
In 2012, Harvey with, what's his name? From
Jim Parsons?
Jim Parsons, yes, from Houston, Texas. And then 2011, this is a show that kind of built the attitude that we have here on Offstage and on the Air, because in 2011 on this date, Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark opened.
You know what's really funny is that I still talk about that show. It was so bad and yet so good.
Yeah, and then also a show called A Teaspoon Every 4 Hours opened in 1969.
Wait a minute. Why do I know that? Who was in that? And what did it turn into?
Well, it didn't. It closed after one performance. But it had... where is it? It had... Oh, my God. Where are the previews?
The tea, Lisa.
It had 128... Nope, sorry. Wrong. That's a different show. Anyway, here's the deal. The record... for the longest preview was held by this show, A Teaspoon Every 4 Hours, until...
Oh, brother.
2011, when Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark broke that record.
Well, was that version one or version two? See, that's where...
No, but they both are included.
I know.
So it was a Jackie Mason show. He wrote it. It closed after one performance. You just got to read this. I mean, here's the
that's
description.
That's kind of crazy. And wasn't Jackie Mason in The Honeymooners?
No.
Also, no?
No.
Who was the other one with Art Carney?
Jackie Gleason.
Gleason. Thank you. Oh, my gosh. Thank you. He was in The Toy.
Yeah. So where did it go? So Jackie Mason did, in the 70s or 80s, have a very successful show, one-man show, on Broadway. But here it is. He plays a character named Nat Weiss, who is a Jewish widower who learns that his son is in love with a black woman. Eventually, Nat himself falls in love with a woman's mother. The play's title is not explained.
Yeah, I was like, what's the tea have to do?
But it's very interesting. But I just thought it was so interesting that it opened on the same day as Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark. I did not know. I thought Sarah Vaugh held the record before.
I thought it did too.
Before, but evidently we were both wrong.
We were wrong.
Anyway, you can get information about that at offstageonair.com. We are going to take a little break, and we're going to listen to a little bit of a show from that Cy Coleman wrote from A Life. It's called Easy Money. We will be right back.
All right.
Easy money.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and on the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
We are here.
I just love that Jackie Mason story. Every now and then I'll see something and I'll have to... Actually, I looked it up because I had to see if it was a musical, because I had no musicals to choose my music from.
Oh, and you were saying that there was music to go with it.
And that's when I saw that. But I also got to look up Cy Coleman and all
what
the
didn't
things.
Cy Coleman exactly. do? Yeah, there's
amazing,
a lot.
Amazing, amazing work. But we're here to talk to Austin Playhouse, speaking
yes.
of musicals.
Yes.
And y'all are doing Big Fish. And from this production and the theater itself, Laura Tonal Haddock, who is the director of this piece, and I, producing artistic director.
Yeah,
I got it. That's the first time I got it right.
You got it, Lisa.
And two of the performers, Sarah Zerang, who's playing Sandra Bloom, and Amy Miner, who's playing Jenny Hill.
Dun, dun, dun.
Okay, Amy.
Yep.
Nodding doesn't work on the radio.
Got it. Noted.
Okay. So I think a lot of people know Big Fish from the movie, the Tim Burton movie. Mm-hmm. Tim Burton?
No. Yes.
Tim Burton movie.
You're on fire today.
With the big old giant, which is all I remember about it.
That's true.
I remember much more than that. But tell us about the show.
So, yeah, many people know it from the movie, which came out about 20 years ago, and then it was made into a big Broadway musical. It's originally a book. So, and the musical was huge on Broadway and maybe too huge. And so the writers went back and said, what if we kind of got to the heart of the story? And that's what we gave the people. And they re-envisioned it as this 12-person musical, which I love deeply. And that is what we are doing. So you have one actor, Andrew Cannata plays Edward Bloom, who's this.
Who's that person?
Andrew Cannata.
I'm not familiar with him, but I'm sure he's very good.
Andrew Cannata plays Edward Bloom. And Connor Barr plays his son, Will, as the adult version. And then Liam Miner plays the young Will.
Relation?
Uh-huh. That's my son. Yeah.
Oh, lovely.
So we are incredibly fortunate to have both Amy and Liam in the cast. And so Edward's this traveling salesman who grew up in small town Alabama and has all these larger than life stories about his youthful adventures, including a witch who told him how he's going to die and this giant who is his best friend and a circus ringmaster who's probably also a werewolf. And so all of these tales, and he tells them to his son. And then when his son grows up, he's encountering his father's mortality. Edward's going to die of cancer, and his son, Will, is going to have a baby of his own. And they're looking at all these huge life changes, which is what really grounds this story in the midst of these fantasy things. And so Will wants to know what was true about what his father has told him, and that's the adventure that you go on. And so part of it is in present day, and part of it is in the past, and both stories kind of barrel to meet in
a fantastical way.
And who wrote the music in the book for this?
Andrew Lippa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
another Texas connection. Yeah.
Oh, and then
John August.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a guest teacher over at Texas State.
Oh, amazing. Mm-hmm. Lovely. Yeah. So, Sarah, you're playing Sandra Bloom. I'm guessing that's the wife?
Yes.
I figured that out all by myself. Tell us about her.
Oh, Sandra. Sandra's a lot of fun. I get to play Sandra from 18 years old to 55 is kind of what I've decided. So does Amy. Amy gets to play that age range. Yeah. And we don't know a ton about Sandra, but what we do know is fun. She ran away to join the circus at 18 years old. Didn't work out. Ended up going to college at Auburn University, and I like to pretend that she studied chemistry because that was my first prop.
She ran around saying, "Go Tigers."
And then she meets Edward. They fall in love, love at first sight. And, yeah, she's a great woman and mother and wife.
It's wonderful. And Amy, you're playing Jenny Hill.
Yes, as well as several other of the storybook characters, mm-hmm, that sort of come to life to support the, mm-hmm, story of communication.
Yeah, you're also a witch there, Sarah.
I am. I'm also
and
a
witch, baker.
And a baker.
And, yeah.
So we have a lot of doubling going on.
Yes, everybody.
Do you play in a witch like the witch that we think of, like the Wicked Witch of the West with the nose and the pointy hat?
No. No, more like a
bayou witch?
Yeah. Kind of like a
what? A bayou?
Like
bayou.
Alabama bayou. Swamp witch.
Okay. Yeah.
That,
by the
way, was my sorority name in college. And so, Amy, what is your, you're playing multiple roles. What's your favorite one?
Jenny, by far. She's okay. Delightful. She's this young cheerleader in love with Edward Bloom, his first love. And then she goes on later to, I don't want to ruin it for anyone who has not seen it, because she's a huge part of Will's storyline, mm-hmm, to find his way to his father. So,
but she don't ruin it. People can come to Austin Playhouse to see it. Do we have live musicians?
We do. We have a six-piece band on stage led by Lynn Kenning,
so
who is our music director.
Lovely. We've had Lynn on this show many, many,
yes,
times.
Yeah, and so they're amazing, and they really add so much energy and depth to the performance. Yeah. So we're really grateful to have them on board.
Is there a lot of choreography in this piece? I say that, you know, ground floor theater, we do a lot of musicals, but we tend to do the ones that are
not dance heavy.
Not very dancey, because
you're not doing anything ghost.
You don't dance when things are going all wrong.
There's a fair amount, especially, uh-huh, right off the bat. There's some really fun opening numbers. We have a giant in the show, and he has to do a big choreographed
number. Are we stilting, or did you just hire someone really tall?
Both. Okay. Yes.
That's combo package.
Yeah. Brayden is great as our giant. And so we use as much of the stage as could possibly be
used. And there's the Witches have a fantastic number. That was my mother-in-law's favorite. Uh-huh. In the Swamp. But no, I love Out There on the Road, and we kind of, you know, everybody gets into it. It's not Anything Goes, but Erin Ryan is our choreographer, and I think she did a really great job with making it fun and doable for the ensemble.
Lovely. Well, of course, you are your, and I'm going to still call it your new space. Mm-hmm. It's still kind of new space. This would be ostensibly your first official musical, but you've really done, Indecent was kind of a musical as well. So they tend to have a lot of people and a lot of stuff. How's the theater holding up under all this pressure?
Well, I'm excited to have a little break this summer.
Yeah, you've been busy.
But I personally rolled right from Indecent into mm-hmm. Big Fish, and that was a fast turnaround to do that. And we have another musical coming in actually right after we close Big Fish. Michael McKelvey will be back in town with the Lizzie Borden
yep.
musical. But I think it's doing pretty well. We definitely were conscious of not building too. You can't build big set pieces in there. So we have a cannon is kind of our biggest
piece that comes
into the show.
We were looking for a cannon earlier, so you just found it.
Yeah, it's good. We need cannons.
That's great. Well, we have one. We actually we borrowed our cannon from Cedar Park High School that did Big Fish earlier this year, and so
is it the kind of cannon that you shoot someone out of?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Does someone actually get shot out of it?
You got to show up.
Oh my
you
gosh.
What Lisa has been asking for.
We were just talking
today,
about that
and this wasn't me just making a comment. This was for Rilla.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe your dreams could come
maybe
true.
Lisa.
I'm just going to have to come to Austin Playhouse and see it. I do enjoy going to your theater. It's a very comfy theater, and people, I'm sure, will love
it. You've had some like really fantastic reviews.
The show has been very well received. We're really grateful. The whole group putting it together, this team, is a delight with designers and the musicians and the actors. So we've been really, really grateful.
Now, you have already opened. Did you opened last week?
We did. Or the week before, June 2nd.
Oh, 2 weeks mm-hmm. ago.
Wow. Yeah.
Boy, time flies.
Time does fly. Does.
And how are things been going? They've been going well?
They've been going great. We still have 3 more weeks. We run through July mm-hmm. 2nd.
And where would folks go to get more information about the show?
You know, our website is an excellent resource for folks.
Excellent.
It's austinplayhouse.com.
Great. Is there anything else you want to talk about the show? Any highlights that might just be that thing that says to someone, oh, I'm guessing, can we bring the kiddos to this?
Oh, yeah. So I have daughters that are ages 6 and 8, and I brought them on Sunday, and they did great. We're recommending
it. Together they're 14.
I like
that. At least. they're not quite able to drive yet, but it's close.
My 17-year-old niece is going to use that now.
Okay. Yeah, we're recommending it for ages 9 and up. We don't allow kids under 5.
Okay.
And it does deal with some topics of, you know, life and death and birth, and there's some very, very light scares.
The circle of life.
Mm-hmm. And I know you have, I'm not sure whether it has passed or not, but you have a masked audience. You have a performance that you're doing masks.
We did that.
You already did it.
All this season, our first Sunday.
I'm sorry, you missed it, everybody.
but it's an option for the future.
Yeah. And you're also welcome to wear a mask at any time.
Absolutely. Well, great. Well, thank y'all so much for
being
on the show.
Thank you.
You have a great last 2 weeks. What a fun show.
3 weeks.
3 weeks.
Yay.
Great. It'll feel like 2.
It will feel like less. It's probably already closed. We didn't even know. That was Laura Toner Haddock, Sarah Zerang, and Amy Miner of Austin Playhouse's Big Fish. For more information, austinplayhouse.com. And from the musical Big Fish, we're going to play Two Men in My Life. We'll be right back.
There are two men in my life.
And we are back.
We are.
That was such a wonderful segment with Big Fish and everything.
It was.
And she's pointing. Oh, yeah, there you go. Anyway, it's so great to have you back.
Lisa.
And we only get you back for a few weeks. And then you're,
get
then you're
me
off
for,
again.
I'm here. I make an appearance. I'm gone. I'll be back. You'll see. It's magic.
Well, so that's wonderful. I don't know. I'm getting a little flummoxed because Nicole is here doing hand signals to people.
And I'm picking up your paper, too, because it fell.
That's very kind.
I'm a magic assistant.
Well, that's great. Again, it's so wonderful to have you back in the house. And coming up next is the, I forgot the name of it. It's the Robert Sims. What's the name of the new conglomerate? Oh, he doesn't even know. But anyway, it's going to be Lights, Camera, Austin in the house. It's part of the Austin Cooperative Hour, as we discussed last week with Lights, Camera, Austin, is coming in the house. And Robert Sims, who you all remember as apprentice here on this show.
Back in the day, we used to be back-to-back.
We were back to back. That's right.
We're back at it again. Here we are.
So what goes around comes around always at Offstage and on the air. Anyway, let's wrap it up. We're gonna listen to New York, New York, yeah. As sung by Anna Uzzelli. It's the only song that has been released and is on iTunes yet from
yes,
that show.
Yes, and it was just released. So I had to pull last time I played stuff from the noms from... like ad kind of things yeah. they had going.
Anyway, we got to go. So let's hear New York, New York. We'll see you next week when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air. Bye.
Ciao.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be a part of it. New York, New York.